I trade freight services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 253. I'm Adam, and one moment you're abusing us, the next you're playing the perfect butler. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
No, he mustn't!
Debbie Melrose.
Things aren't always very logical, are they?
And Mary Lang.
We're on the brink of disgust of destruction.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's one of the best ones I've ever heard, actually.
It was full of those, wasn't it, this one?
Except I heard that the best Billy Fluff got lost in rehearsal, so it never made it to tape. But apparently he told us Susan to put something on the fornicator.
That's it, yeah, that was on them.
They included that in the adventure in space and time.
And as soon as we start recording, Kirby's microphone does its, right, we're recording, I'm going to have fun. What? Anyway, but at the moment you're legible.
Is it really that? Okay.
But whatever. It's turning a bit Cher, but it's legible at the moment.
Oh, I know what happened. I opened up a couple more windows.
Did you?
Haven't you learned by now?
Exactly.
I forgot.
Clearly. Right. Okay, right, we're looking this week at Edge of Destruction, a two-part story, and I don't know whether to do a commentary on it or just sort of, because it's going to be quite quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should we do a commentary on it?
Do it, there was some funny bits.
Okay, well, commentary. So has everybody got it queued up? Then obviously not, only me.
Oh, no.
Do you want to get it queued up? Is it possible? Can Kirby do it with his microphone issues?
I can't, because it will make my microphone go nuts.
Okay, well, don't worry about it, we won't do it that way then. Forget that plan. We're not going to queue it up, we're just going to do...
Besides, I feel like we've done this one before.
Yeah, we have done this one before.
Okay. Except, Barry, you had to dig out the email that you sent in however many years ago that was. It was before you had joined us and you sent in an email.
Oh, really? Oh, did I?
Yes.
Kirby,
I listened to the show the other day.
Kirby. Oh, wow.
Kirby, could you just say the words, do you believe in life after love, and see what it sounds like?
What?
Go on. Do you believe in life after love? Go on, see what it sounds like.
What? I don't understand.
No, just say the line. Do you believe in life after love? Go on.
Do you believe in life after love?
That's just like Aaron Ronnie, isn't it? Friend of the show, Cher. Right. Right. So immediately after
isn't
the last
that bad?
No, it's not too bad. Immediately after last show, they were a bit dazed and confused because they've sort of all got knocked out. Ian conveniently fell into a chair.
Oh, that was very handy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the same chair that Barbara conveniently fell into in the last time they all fainted all at the same time. Susan is a bit teenagey. She's just such a moody teenager.
Well, she also has socks, ankle socks that appear and disappear.
Does yes, she? I noticed those.
Yeah, I didn't notice them. A bit.
I didn't.
They're a bit creased up. Isn't that when she was lying on the floor? It must have been a bit drafty there, maybe. They're all a bit sort of confused, aren't they? The doctor's having a nap
dazed
on the floor. Amazed.
Dazed and confused.
No, dazed
and confused.
Yes. And everybody, if you're watching this for the first time, I think the audience will be pretty confused and dazed and not quite understanding why they're not quite themselves. You may have been thought they might have been in some sort of dream sequence in some ways. Of course, the doors are... They keep on these things scattered. The doors are open, but you look out, you can see the Blue Peter studio in the background, the white wall. Unfortunately, not space. Unfortunately, they don't close in a uniform way, so Ian has to stand there and let them close before he can do his next bit of acting. That happens on a couple of occasions, unfortunately. And, of course, there's parts of the console that are electrified that you can't touch. Susan keeps on freaking out and fainting and being carried into the very uncomfortable looking bedroom. Those beds, I tell you what, I wouldn't like to be able to sleep in one of those beds. I like to turn them aside.
I've got a sun lounger. I wrote it down as a sun lounger because when Susan goes at it with scissors, I've written kills the sun lounger instead of Ian.
Yeah, I mean that sort of scene with the scissors, I don't know if that would be allowed now.
No, I don't think so, actually.
Oh, you said that 3 years ago.
Did I?
Yes. I listened to our show. That show.
It still wouldn't.
Believe it or not, we had Ben, who had not seen it, but he was still making comments about this one.
Okay, so did you make a note of what episode that was that we...
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I posted on Facebook several days ago.
Oh, go on then, remind me.
I'll have to find it here. Hang on a minute.
Typical.
Anyway. Oh, by the way, did you notice that Barbara is still wearing her thaw pants?
Yes.
I mean, not pants.
Yeah.
Trousers.
Right. Correct continuity then. So, the doctors meanwhile work up and have a bandage wrapped around his head, a stripy bandage, which apparently when the it stops being stripy, the healing is completed. So, obviously, by the end of the episode, the beginning of the next episode.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
It's a great idea. And magic water turns up again.
Yeah. It fixes everything.
Yeah, well, it's like it is on the football pitch, isn't it?
Magic sponge on the football pitch, though, isn't
Susan
it?
Susan must have had a bit of a temperature as along with her being slightly loony when she was brandishing the scissors. She was sweating a lot.
Yes. And drenched with a bucket of water, I wrote down.
Yeah. Ian had a hole in his cardi. Being the suave man that he is, I'm surprised he didn't change the cardi. That's a cardigan for you in America, by the way.
I never would have figured that out.
Yeah, I know. That's just so British. No way I could have figured that one. Yeah.
And
I apologize for my using the other word for the trousers.
That's an Americanism.
Pants.
Yes.
Mm. Well, whatever.
It's pants or trousers in our house.
Yeah, because in England, our pants, what we call underpants.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Hang on. Magic's just burst into the room, and I need to close the door. I found a use for my Seventh Doctor umbrella, apart from using it as an umbrella when it's raining.
Oh, yeah, what? Holding the door open?
No, for closing the door without having to get out of my seat.
Oh, by the way, we're recording today on Tom Baker's birthday.
Are we?
Yes.
Birthday to you. Ooh. Is he 80 now, isn't he?
81, I believe.
81,
yeah, I think he's 81, yeah.
Wow. Crikey.
Well, happy birthday to you, et cetera, et cetera, Tom Baker. Happy birthday to you. Right, so there's a point in which episode one that the Doctor decides that Ian and Barbara have sabotaged the ship because they're that clever. So, if you'd only watched this the first time, you'd been intrigued by all this stuff, wouldn't you? I would have thought so. I remember being quite intrigued.
This is the first time I'd seen this one. I've not seen this one.
And the other liked about it was the fact that it was very much like a stage play. And
I mean, that was the style of TV at the time,
but this was even more so with this
and
I quite like that. It was all acting, basically.
I like it was just the core the core actors and just the TARDIS set, and that was really nice, very simple, but they ran the gamut of nuttiness, which was brilliant.
When this was commissioned, they didn't even know if the show was going to continue beyond this point. So they weren't going to commit anything, money-wise, to two episodes.
Thank you, Mary, because that is the correct explanation as far as why they made this episode. A lot of people have this idea that they were saving up for the expensive sets for the next story.
Yeah, well, they didn't know
they were going to make the next story.
Right. Mm. But by the time they recorded it, they did know that it was that the series or season, whatever, the show was going to go for another 13 weeks. So the actors were happy. So they, 13 more weeks of work. So they were happy to just do whatever they were told, even though they didn't understand the script at all.
Mm.
It was the 20 Megabyte Doctor podcast number 91 on December 13th, 2011.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you for that, Kobe.
So you said September 11th?
December.
December 13th. 11th. Okay.
Hmm. December 13th, 2011.
Might have to go back and listen to that one.
Adam, Ben, Dee, Reese, and Robert.
So maybe that's why Reese isn't on today, because he's already been there and done that.
And we also had just heard about...
Kobe, you put up with Adam's abuse for this long?
I don't know what you're saying, Debbie.
Of course, he sent me jelly babies.
Anyway, so there's a lot.
I can drive 10 miles from here, actually 3 miles from work, and get jelly babies. But at the time, I didn't know that.
Okay. Back to the story. The clocks melt, and so do the watches, and
everybody screams.
Yeah, and Barbara gets petulant.
Barbara was really affected by that.
And threw the watch across the TARDIS. Oh, sorry, the console room, and went off in a bit of a sort of.
Thing. And also, Susan joins the cult of Snuggly.
Yes. Yeah. And later, Barbara.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird. It looks like her head's on backwards at one point. Yeah.
The episode basically ends with the Doctor looking like he's going to get throttled by someone which really could only be Ian. And also I noticed in this story, this is the first time that Hartnell's got his sort of more standard wig. Because obviously the wig that he had in the first two stories was a bit all over the place, wasn't it? But this is the standard first Doctor
look. That whole section of hair sticking straight out the side,
yeah.
Well, I read that Susan and Ford's belief that drove her character for most of this.
I mean, Carol Ann Ford, just to be pretentious.
Carol Ann Ford was that she believed, because of her lines, she believed that the ship or the people in it were possessed by alien beings. So she played all of this as if that were the case.
Yeah, fair enough. So basically the first half of episode two is all continuing with the suspicion that Ian and Barbara have got something to do with them, and Susan's... There is a point in which they refer to previous journeys in the TARDIS, which is quite interesting. So it implies that they really only had about five adventures before the series started. So that was something I picked up on that I hadn't picked up on before.
And you're going to ask us what those were in a few minutes.
Not necessarily.
I better look them up.
Not necessarily. So she sort of gets them. And then she suddenly decides, oh, they can't have been. And there's a bit where Ian gives Barbara a neck massage. Not quite the time for that. His sort of hands just creep up behind her. And sort of, it's a time and a place for that, Ian. And... Yeah, so he's just lying on the deck, and basically the Doctor sort of, every time he approaches the console, he gets your electric shock, Doctor, no! Sort of thing. It's quite interesting, isn't it, that it took them that long to realise the fact that one part of the console wasn't electrified, and how they knew that only one part of the console wasn't electrified, because they only got electrified by one segment, didn't they? But they knew one part of it wasn't. Been a bit picky here, but that is the case.
It was part of the clues. It was one of the clues.
Yes, I did like that aspect, the clues aspect. I don't think the audience would have got any of those clues, to be honest with you. I think, yeah. Which is a shame, because if you've got a bit of a mystery like that, you like to sort of filter these clues through to the audience so the audience can feel clever. But I don't
You need to spoon feed the audience. They didn't with this one. Mm. Yeah.
Which is a shame. Hmm. Well, that Death in Paradise, is that something anybody watches? That's quite good in the way it sort of drips clues through to the audience.
I've never watched it.
It's quite good.
I've seen a couple of episodes, but it never really pulled me in.
I've seen heard one. Of it. What are you talking about?
It's a drama series set in the West Indies, isn't it? West Indies, Jamaica, or something like that?
Yeah, Jamaica. And, it's on PBS,
It's like
Kirby.
A murder mystery thing, so every week. Very good. And that made me think about something else to do with Doctor Who, and I forgot what it was. Never mind. I've lost the plot now. Oh yes, they refer to the time column as well. The fact that all the power of the TARDIS is in beneath that column, and that what happens if the column escapes. That was quite interesting as well, was it not? I seem to be the only one talking about it.
You'll end up with horrible things like Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
True.
And of course, then we have the clues on the TARDIS monitor of the planet, solar system, etc., etc., etc. Which was I thought was quite interesting that they'd drawn loads of clouds in the space pictures. Do they just think that the clouds were beyond the sky, which is quite interesting? I know there are clouds in space, but they're not that visible, are they? Let's face it.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
When they show pictures of space, they show.
There's probably, since I don't know exactly what point you're at, they're probably nebula or something.
Yeah, I think they're trying to draw star systems, but they look more like clouds.
Can you give me a time?
It's the bit where they do the monitor shows the planet, and then the planet within a solar system, then further away, and
yeah, then it goes further out and further out and further out.
Yeah.
My monitors are.
I wouldn't open up any other windows, Kirby, for obvious reasons.
No, this isn't opening up windows. This is that I lost one of my monitors; it just went blank, and now the playback is on the blank monitor, and I can't get over to it. Let me see if I can do it over here. Okay. But you don't have a timestamp.
Well, it's does it matter? Yes, yeah, shown episode 1.
Yeah, so I want to know
12 minutes and 29 seconds into episode 2. There you go.
Okay. 12 minutes and
29 seconds into episode
29
2.
29 seconds.
Yes.
Let me see what you're talking about. Okay, there's Susan staring at the monitor, and come on. Your timestamps are different than mine.
No, they're not.
Okay, here it goes. Okay. Oh, that's weird.
Oh, you didn't notice that when the show was on then?
Yes, I did notice it.
What are you noticing?
Oh, okay. First of all, those are supposed to be nebula and galaxies. Yes.
Okay.
Bearing in mind that that's what they thought they looked like, obviously, in those days. That was quite. I just thought that was. Never mind.
They knew what they looked like.
Well, they were wrong with those pictures.
And I gave up trying to use my second monitor. Good. It was working fine.
Right. Anyway.
Earlier, and now it's not working.
Back to the story. When the penny drops with the doctor, what's actually going on, there's a great sort of flash. I don't know if that's the TARDIS saying, hooray!
I think it is, yeah. It's like, bing, you've won. Yes.
And then they will just shine a light on the console, because obviously that's where you need to go to sort the problem out. And then the doctor can do his monologue. And considering all the fluffs he'd done in this story, he delivered this monologue brilliantly.
Yes,
he did, didn't he?
Yet he supposedly complained a lot about it and wanted it to be made shorter, and he didn't really want to do it.
No. And
best part of it.
I know, yeah. I know.
And essentially that story was over when they fit the spring into the fast return switch, and the doctor had apologised to Barbara and Ian, and they'd had a big laugh about the silliness that had been going on.
They should have cut it at the laughing, really. Just, that's it. He laughs. Yeah. Bonk.
Then they had a little bit of a missing episode, which was obviously the next story. So there we go. That's I can't remember what I said about Edge of Destruction.
That was short.
I know.
We talked about this for
well, it's a short story. Anyway, yes.
No,
and
it's a TV play. It's not a short
it's
story.
It's already done it in the past. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to remember what... Just while I didn't listen to our previous episode version of this, because I can't remember what I said, but I'm just going to say what I thought of it on this viewing, and I seem to remember always liking watching this story, because where it's so short and intriguing, I find it really interesting. I don't drift away while watching it. I think it's because you've got a fairly decent little mystery, even though they don't, like I say, drip information through. You have some good acting, a nice bit of drama within a little enclosed space, which I really, really like. It's nothing really like any other Doctor Who story we've had before or since. And for that reason, and it's only two episodes, I actually really, really like it. Debbie, what did you think?
It's my first viewing of it. I'd heard about it and I actually read the book, but this was the first time I'd seen it. So it was... I really enjoyed it. I love the fact that it was just a small staged episode, completely internal. And the acting, it was great to see how they all, the characters interacted with each other when basically up against it. And it was just really nice, really, really nice sort of plateau moment for Doctor Who. And then just to see how then they would evolve further as characters and how they become easier with each other. Obviously, this was the episode where they nearly got put off the ship, but they didn't. And, the Doctor came to realise that actually they're all right. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it was nice and short. But it was after the long, long, long Dalek one before, it was like it's a breather, just a moment to go, OK, let's see what they can give us just inside the TARDIS.
Yeah. And I know that Susan, Carol Ann Ford, always moaned about having not very good acting parts to do in Doctor Who, but she had a chance to do it in this story.
Pretty big one this time.
Yeah. I thought they liked the ship. Why wouldn't they be put off of it?
Ching.
Brilliant. And just for that, Kirby, you can say what you think.
I loved it. Ever since I first saw this, which I think was shortly before we recorded 3 years ago, it's one of my favorites. Really good. Everyone's starting to understand the characters, and we get so much good character interaction. This is just a nice little story, nice little bottle episode.
Yeah, Mary.
This was my third time watching it, and I had a hard time focusing on it because it's not one of my favorite ones.
You liked it 3 years ago.
Well, I was baffled by it the first time I saw it. I kind of liked it the second time I saw it, and this time it's like, okay, you know, I know more about it. I know that it was just a filler episode that they were not devoting any real money or time to because of what I said earlier. You know, they didn't know the show was going to go on. So I kind of, intellectually, I admire what they did with it, with what they had. But the most interesting point that came through this time that I totally missed the first two times is that for the first time, the TARDIS is portrayed as almost sentient because it's giving them clues. It's trying to tell them, you know, what's going on. So I'm intrigued.
It's alive!
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the fact that they're giving the TARDIS kind of a part to play.
Yeah.
Because as we know, for many years on, the TARDIS is very much that way. But at this point, it was just a ship. So the fact that it thinks and can try to give them clues was kind of interesting. But no, I'm not at all fond of this one. It just seemed, very confusing, and so many things just do not make sense, and everybody's overacting because that was pretty much what they were told to do, just go for it, don't worry, because the cast themselves didn't understand the story and were not that happy to do it, but they were just told, just go for it, go do everything overboard, so they did. And this is what we've got, but no, I don't think I would choose to sit through it again.
Well, there you go, that's some differing views there. So I'll see what our feedback and contributors think of it.
Well, good evening, MegaBella 20 Magazines. It's Andy Lenny here. It's 9 minutes past five on Sunday evening, and I'm sitting here with my Keep Calm and Play Cricket mug of tea. I can't beat a good drop of tea, but
he's still
only 18 days to go. Anyway, the edge of destruction, the brink of disaster. Now, I did think about watching this the wrong way round in tribute to the, for those of you who remember the early days of satellite television, we had British Satellite Broadcasting, where a competitor to Sky eventually got taken over, and then a Doctor Who weekend in, I think it was September, October 1990, I've got quite a bit on video, and they broadcasted Destruction, except they broadcast the episodes the wrong way round. They then showed them later the right way round, but I remember Mason and I did record them. I think I've actually got that transferred to DVD somewhere of the two episodes the wrong way round, and it's interesting to think, did they actually make any difference in terms of sense? Because this was a very interesting story in terms of there's no real set other than the TARDIS, there's no action because it's all mental really, and all bits, little bits going on, there's no physical, nothing you really get your teeth into. And that's what makes it so fascinating, because it's the two, for four of them, trapped in an environment that's completely alien, not just to Barbara and Susan, to the Doctor and Ian, because none of them understands what is going on. Even the Doctor is completely baffled, and because all the personality changes, it's almost like you've got multiple personalities there. I mean, I think at least of them go through at least three personality changes. So it's, who are they going to be now, who to react? The bit with Susan and a knife is absolutely awesome, when she suddenly starts attacking the bed instead. There's Ian trying to throttle the Doctor, there's Barbara going loop, there's a Doctor wanting to throw them all out. They're all going completely around the twist, because they're affected by what's going on. And it's at any one time, it's almost like a bad game of Cluedo, where it's any one from three things as to what might go wrong this time, and who might go completely round the twist, who might go loopy, and how they can react to it. So in that point of view, it really kept you in edge of your seats because you as the viewer, you had no idea what was going to happen next. I'll be honest, I think the script writers did. I think the superb job of given the restrictions they had, you know, all they had was the tardy set, four actors, and they've got to fill 45 minutes of action. Well, action being, again, it's the most non-active story you've got, but I think that's why it works so well. I don't know how you could repeat it now. I don't think today's modern audience would actually even put up with something like that. Something that's so mental-based, and I mean mental as in thinking, not as in any other connotation of the word. But to come up with something like that was absolutely extraordinary, because you do get so sucked into it. You know, you're trying to think to yourself, what is actually going on? You've got the clues, you've got the pictures coming up, you've got the door open, they try and go towards it. And I think as much as anything, because there was no effects, it's you're looking at the reaction of the crew themselves. You know, the door opens and Susan and Barbara look out and there's nothing there. You can't see there's nothing there. It's almost like it's the monster with Hitchcock or things like that, where it's the best one is the one you don't see. I mean, there's a similar thing with, I think, with sex scenes, where it's the sexy scene is the one where you don't see anything. It's all in the imagination. And I think this is, again, what works here. Because it's left your imagination run right, you know, what are they seeing? What is happening? The melting clocks. You know, I mean, Dali, wow. He'd have had a field day with that, wouldn't he? Because, again, it's time, and Ian's watch going as well. Oh, and all the machinery, like the food machine going wrong. All the clues there, the ship's trying to tell them something. And only at the end, does the Doctor finally realise what it is? You know, it's just something simple, the fact that something's broken, but it's not Rishon's fault, because what the action of it being broken means it could just be him keeping his finger on it. And that's why I do think this story, vastly underrated, does work very well. I remember the first time I saw it, I was a student in Sheffield, and a group of us had been out for a night out in Sheffield. I think we might have had Paul Venisi with us, because he was a mate of mine. And Dave Polferman is another guy that people might know. Yeah, people who then became the audiovisual team and moved on with that. And for some reason, though, we were out in Sheffield, and we were in a car, and we drove within 100 yards of where I live. I ended up somehow back in Chesterfield at Dave's place, and we were watching this in a not entirely sober state of mind. I mean, no, you can't believe I drink very much. I think I've been given a bottle of whiskey and told to get on with this. Happy days. But women were laughing our socks off at the Doctor at the end of the episode, at the end of Edge of Destruction, the first episode, with his hand shaking, trying to work out which control to press. And that's just the memory I have, and I do have a good memory of this story. So, and of course, it takes you into the Marco Polo story, which I've actually got six episodes of now. And the way it takes into that with the snowball coming flying back in. I mean, Red Dwarf redid that, didn't they? Where the Dave Lister's pictures came to life and he threw a snowball back into it. I think. Did they get inspiration of that from the beginning of Marco Polo? Anyway, all in all, thoroughly enjoyed it. And Dawn watched the second half, and I think found it quite interesting. She's obsessed with relaxation, so I can't go wake her up and see what she thinks of it. But all in all, so there you go, and 18 to go. Be seeing you.
Moving on. Got some more feedback. Got this feedback. No, I've got the wrong window.
No,
it's all gone wrong.
Kirk. Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The Edge of Destruction by David Whittaker. The TARDIS is trying to communicate by opening and closing the doors and giving the crew pains in the neck. Confused? You won't be after this episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Barbara's still wearing the foul trousers. When Ian examines the Doctor, he finds nothing unusual about his heart.
Yes.
Susan is quite alien in this story. This story had to be made with almost no budget to make up the number of episodes. There was a famous play, Waiting for Godot, in 1953, which seems to have led to a lot of this type of thing. There was a Seventh Doctor story called The Happiness Patrol. Everyone had to be happy, or be executed. And this was enforced by the patrol. Can you imagine the carnage if the patrol turned up in Albert Square, in EastEnders?
That means something.
So true, so true.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
And thank you for bringing up a couple of things I forgot about. during the episode itself. Yes, well, I can defend Ian. He's not a medical person, is he? So he may not have thought, hang on, I can feel two hearts here. I'm sure if you sort of you listen to one side of a Time Lord's chest, you can probably only hear one. Or I don't think he listened, did he? Put his hand there, did he not?
Well, I suspect that when they were all knocked out, it stopped one of his hearts temporarily.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
No, I agree with you. You know, when he just talks about the one heart, my thought was, you know, well, I mean, he doesn't have a stethoscope, so he's not hearing everything.
Yes, exactly.
And he's not looking for us. You know, he's not. What can I say? Attuned to the fact that the doctor is that different.
Indeed.
So, yeah, if he hears a heart beating, that's probably all that would matter.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Mayor, for backing me up. Right, I think we better... this is going to be a bit quick episode, this one. Everybody prepare for a quick episode. Not really surprising. Yeah. It's only a two-part story, so hey. And it's also a two-part story we've already done. So let's look at some news. Oh, damn. I typed in the wrong URL.
Oh, no.
Damn. What's the program called again? Doctor Who...
Doctor what?
Have I spelled that right? Doctor what?
Inspector Space Time.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, in regards to my little character figures, I managed to get a 12th Doctor in his proper suit figure to go on the top of my Mac.
Yay!
So that releases my 12th Doctor regeneration figure for filing reasons. Right then. News. Apparently there's a book called Man Behind the Master, the biography of Anthony Ainley. There's a cracking picture of him on the page of DoctorWhoNews.net. In fact, it's so good that he actually doesn't really look like Anthony Ainley. Strange.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Obviously you expect to see him with his beard, don't you? Apparently they're going to make some new Torchwood radio plays with Bon Jarraman, and I don't know if Eve Miles is going to be, because Eve Miles is currently in Broadchurch Series 2. And her cleavage was very predominant in episode 2, along with a few other well-known Doctor Who and Torchwood actors. I wonder why they got Doctor Who and Torchwood actors to appear in it. But yeah, so far, I've done quite a good job. And you do wonder, having seen Broadchurch Series 1, how they were going to make a Series 2 out of it. But they've done a very clever job in doing that. But I'm still thinking that if it's going to be 9 episodes, it's really going to be drawn out.
So are you watching it?
Oh yeah,
currently.
Yeah,
it's on now.
It's episode 2 has just been there. Oh, was it episode 3? Okay. I've watched episodes 1 and 2. Episode 3 is the next one I haven't seen, so that's either imminent or just been shown. It will be on my Sky Plus if it's just been shown.
Okay. So we'll probably see it here in March or so.
Quite possibly. Series 9 update. BBC has released details of Series 9 of Doctor Who, which began filming in Cardiff at the start of last week. The episodes currently being filmed are written by friend of the show, Toby Whithouse. I wonder if he'd be prepared to come back on. Whose first work on the series in 2006 when he wrote School Reunion. And he also introduced Sarah Jane Smith and K-9 to this era of Doctor Who. I think his last one was Town Called Mercy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was a good episode.
Yeah, some people liked it, some people didn't like it.
I didn't.
There you go. Yes, also there's Paul Kay has been announced. I think it looks like he's going to be in quite a lot of the series from what I'm reading between the lines. And he's going to be playing Thoros of Myr in the Game of Thrones series, or he's been playing it. I don't know, but I don't know what character he's going to be playing in Doctor Who, so I'm presuming it's probably going to be a baddie. And, yeah, also starring will be Morven Christie, who is in Death in Paradise. Plays Grant Chester. And we've got Arsha Ali and Colin McFarlane. None of these names I've actually heard of.
Except that Colin is in EastEnders.
Is he? Who's he playing EastEnders?
I thought everyone... If you're not in EastEnders, you're in Doctor Who, I thought.
Casualty.
And Sophie Stone. And
or Coronation Street.
Zaki Ismail.
Yeah.
And Stephen Robertson and Neil Fingleton, who will feature in the next series.
All these people I've never heard of.
Exactly. Filming continues in Cardiff, and there's plans
and
for
Spain.
Location in Spain. Do stop interrupting. I see this Ali Assad is a director of photography, is he? I don't know. Yes?
Nothing.
Fine. Yeah, of course, they were saying that last time Doctor Who was in Spain for the two Doctors, clearly. That's about it, really. Netflix apparently was going to take off all Doctor Who stuff. Apparently,
no,
now
they weren't.
I'm just saying. I said apparently. There was a rumour that Netflix was going to remove all Doctor Who.
Everybody,
but apparently, they're not going to remove all Doctor Who.
When all that started, what was it, about 3 weeks ago, everyone was just going nuts. And the thing is, this is the fourth time this has happened. They have to renegotiate the contract.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to take off one of the most popular things that is on Netflix. I mean, for the modern series, for New Who, we tend to watch it off of Netflix rather than my going and grabbing DVDs off the shelf. Unless I want an extra or something, we'll just watch off of Netflix. So I love having it on Netflix, but I was never worried that it was actually going to be dropped.
I think British Netflix is rubbish myself. There's not hardly anything I want to watch. The things I do like, they only have the first series of. So
You don't eat Netflix. You have iPlayer.
Yeah, but Netflix is something I do have because it comes with my phone contract. But I've never found anything on it I want to watch. Sometimes I think I wouldn't mind to watch this film. I'll go and look on Netflix. Oh, what a surprise! Not on there. So I wait to see the moment that there's something on there I want to see. I might watch.
We use Netflix almost every day here because it keeps Isla amused.
Oh, well, I suppose that, yeah. I suppose
well, Netflix doesn't have very much classic Doctor Who in their streaming.
They used to.
Yeah.
Ages ago, they had about
Rose
three times.
I watched Rose on there the other day.
Yeah. Right, I think it's about time we embarked on this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I will not.
Oh, you always say that.
So the first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
And that is, who wrote The Edge of Destruction?
David Whittaker.
David Ickiker. I presume you actually said David Whittaker.
Yes, I did.
Right, Mary. Who,
yes.
Who at the beginning of the story said Chesterton? Ian Chesterton?
The Doctor?
I know.
Ooh, I think Debbie might know. Go on, Debbie.
Is it Barbara?
It was.
Yeah.
Right. Debbie.
Yeah.
What was Susan's first aid suggestion for the Doctor's cut head?
Ointment.
Wow! I didn't expect you to get that one. Right, Kirby.
And magic water.
Yeah. What was Ian's first statement of the story?
You're working late tonight, that's right.
It is word for word correct. Right.
I remember, I thought that was, for a second, as I was watching, I was going, wait a second. He said that only just a few stories ago.
Yeah, clever writing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, Mary.
Yes?
Who suggested that something might have got into the TARDIS?
This is really good.
It's wrong, but it's really good, this, because you've always got an option of four people. I don't have to say A, B, C, or D, because... Right, so, no, it's not
Susan.
Was
it Barbara?
It was a Barbara. Right. Debbie.
Yes?
What did Ian think... Do be careful. What did Ian think might give the Doctor an electric shock? And it has to be word for word, as it was said in the script, this particular answer. We've gone very quiet.
No, I can't do it word for word. I thought it was the control column.
You can't do it word for word. That is word for word, you silly woman. That's exactly the right answer. Right.
I thought you were expecting a full sentence.
Yeah, I thought you were expecting a sentence.
Yeah, me too.
I knew control column.
Yes, it's the way it's said. Yes, okay, fair enough. Right then. Kirby. What letter did the fault locator display? There's a letter and a number. What was the letter?
I know.
J.
Wrong. Go on, Debbie.
A.
Is the correct answer.
A.
Mary.
A.
Which
is A? A.
It ended.
Be quiet.
Zero for two so far. What's this one?
This one is, what was Ian's first theory of what might have happened to the TARDIS?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's a shame. Anybody?
Nope.
Really? Therefore, the answer I didn't get that one at long last. That's a power failure. Right, Debbie.
Well, yes. Don't they have a power failure next
no,
week?
No, that was his first... Oh, shut up. So who's going?
And the water goes out.
Debbie's going.
Water too.
Debbie's going.
They can melt snow.
Yeah, never mind, Kirby. what proposed action of the doctors made Susan jump off her sick bed and scream, no!
He was going to check the scanner.
Is the correct answer.
It was my quote, remember?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so let's do a score update. Sorry, Mary.
Just bumping along the bottom like always.
In last place, propping up everybody with no points, is Mary. In second place with 4 points, Kirby, but in the lead with 8 points is Debbie. Right.
I never win anymore.
No, don't you? Never mind. Right, Kirby.
What just happened to my screen?
Oh, Kirby. Oh, okay. Kirby.
Yes, but you put up a good fight, Kirby.
Yes, he does. Kirby! Yeah.
Fight, master.
Oh, Kirby, right. What planet from the fourth universe did the TARDIS scanner display a photograph of?
Nebula.
No.
Nowhere near it. Go on, Debbie.
Of course you know.
Quinnis.
Here's the correct answer. Mary.
Yes?
What made Barbara scream just after her rant at the doctor?
The melting of the clock.
Here's the correct answer.
Yay.
I put on she got one.
Debbie.
My screen just came back.
Good. Fill in the blank. Ready? I don't see anything blank in apologising to Barbara. What's the missing word?
I don't see anything
blank in apologising to Barbara.
I know.
Is it productive?
No. Go on, no. Kirby.
That's rash of you.
That's correct. Right. Kirby.
Rash.
Kirby.
Master.
What was the little episode... Sorry, I read that wrong. What was the title of episode 2 of Edge of Destruction?
Hang on, I've lost my screen again.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, I don't need to look it up. It's just I lost the screen. No, go ahead. She can...
You don't know it? Okay, well, go on, no. Go on then, Debbie.
The Brink of Disaster.
Is correct.
I would have known it, but...
You would have known it, yes. Right, Mary.
Yeah.
What precisely does it mean if all the lights on the fault locator come on?
Oh, yeah.
That everything's wrong with the TARDIS.
Not quite what I'm looking for, sorry. Anybody?
Well, I thought it was everything's wrong with the TARDIS.
No, it's not quite as the doctor said. He sort of made a sort of statement about
the whole area of the fault locator.
No. It says here, I'll read the question again. What precisely does it mean if all the lights in the fault locator come on? The doctor made a statement. If all the lights come on, and he said, okay, I'll give you a...
The TARDIS is dead.
No, the answer is the ship is on the point of disintegration.
Okay.
Right. Oh, God, I've got that written down.
Yes, silly woman. Right then.
The ship is on the point of disintegration. There you go.
No, you should have said it then, shouldn't you? Right.
It can't disintegrate until Zoe can show her butt.
Okay, right.
That's true.
What? That sounded rude.
Debbie.
Oh, no.
Debbie hasn't seen that?
Debbie hasn't seen Zoe's butt.
Missing out. Right. Debbie. Debbie.
Okay.
Debbie. Right. How often are the lights on the fault locator lighting up?
It was... I can't remember. Was it goodness. Every 30 seconds?
No, it wasn't. Right. Anybody else?
What was the question I was laughing about?
How often Debbie. Are the lights on the fault locator lighting up?
I don't know.
Oh. Every 15 seconds or quarter of a minute. Okay. Right.
That's the same thing.
No, that's what they said it in the script. They'd said every 15 seconds and then they looked at it again and they said every quarter of a minute, or Susan did. So I thought, that's the same thing. Weird. Okay, right.
It
Kirby.
Is the same.
Kirby.
Master.
What is under the time column, as in the script?
The power supply.
No, it's not as in the script, as they said in the script.
I don't know.
Good grief, that's a... Right, in the script, what is under the time column? Anybody?
The heart of the machine.
Hooray! Right. Mary.
Still here.
Good. What would happen if the time column came out completely?
Don't remember the words.
Oh. What essentially happens then?
Power thrust?
Not you. You're not Mary.
Yeah, well, well, they lose all power.
That'll do. The power is free to escape. That'll do.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Debbie.
Yes.
How long did the Doctor tell his companions they had to survive at the end of the story?
5 minutes?
No. Anybody?
10 minutes?
Correct. Right, so the scores, with not that many questions left, in joint last place, with 5 points each, it's Mary and Kirby, and in the lead,
really?
With 12 points, it's Debbie. Right, and this question goes to Kirby.
Forgot the smarty pants.
What force as strong as a solar system could have an external effect on the TARDIS?
I don't know.
Okay, anybody? What force as strong as a solar system could have an effect, an external effect, on the TARDIS?
Distract the power of the ship or something.
No, the answer is magnetic. Magnetic force. Right. Oh, whose question? That was Kirby. Mary!
Ooh, more alive than I thought. Okay.
What is the picture sequence on the scanner? So what picture sequence did we have?
First there's the planet, and then there's the... what they think is the solar system, and then that bright flash.
I'll give you 2 points for that one. There was another one that was mentioned. Anybody want to get a point for the other one that was mentioned? No? Okay, the other one that mentioned was getting further away, and then blinding flash and destruction.
Okay.
We got 2 points for that one. Debbie!
Yeah.
I can hear myself coming back. Hello, me.
Yes, I just heard you.
Right, Debbie, it's what switch malfunctioned?
It was the fast return switch.
It was the fast return switch. Kirby.
Master.
Well, I want one of them.
Do you?
Written with indelible marker on the TARDIS.
Yes.
Face.
Did they make Sharpies back then? Did they make Sharpies back then?
I don't know. They made something of that,
exactly.
That ilk.
You probably came and got one.
Yeah, right, whose question is it now? It's Kirby's, isn't it? Kirby.
Master.
What part had come adrift from the switch?
The spring.
That was a difficult one, wasn't it? Clutching at straws for questions
there. I only watched this one through once this time, and so I'm not all that. So did I.
Yes, this is Mary's question.
Yeah.
How did the Doctor assess his mental state?
Wow. I don't remember.
Oh, that's a shame. Does anybody remember?
No.
I can't remember exactly what he says.
Go on then, have a go, see if I can, it's worth a point.
He says that he's a little bit balmy or something.
Not quite. Oh, go on then, I'll give you a point for that. The actual quote was, tiny little bit around the bend.
Oh yes.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, Debbie, I have given you reference to Zoe's butt.
I've just seen it.
I'm sure she'd be absolutely delighted by that. Right then. Whose question is this?
I commented, oh.
Right, this is Debbie's question, isn't it, if I remember rightly? What name did the Doctor use for Chesterton at the end of the story? Now, there are options, but you will obviously, it's a chance of 3 points here, but if you need the options, it drops down to two. So what name did the Doctor use for Chesterton at the end of the story? Do you need
the
options?
You mean when he's trying on the coat?
Yes, sort of.
Because I've got Gilbert and Sullivan.
No,
here,
no, I'm talking about the names. He always mispronunciates Chesterton. So it's a principal.
Yes, he does. No, I can't remember that.
Oh my goodness! So do you want the options?
Oh
yes.
Right, the options.
Unless
are,
Mary knows.
Oh, do you know Mary?
I think I know.
Go on, then.
Isn't it Chesterfield?
I might know.
It isn't. No.
Chesterfield. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I was going to say Chesterfield too.
No. Right then. The options then, Debbie. This goes back to you for 2 points. Chessington, Chartow, Sherwood, or Carter?
Did he call him Carter?
No. Right, there's three left. Anybody?
Chestington.
Is wrong. There's two left.
Jeez.
Kirby got with the
choices.
Right,
we're just losing.
Chartow or Sherwood?
Chartow. Thank you.
Yay!
Got there in the end. Right then, so there's one question left. It's a free for all. Right? Are you ready? What?
Always.
Sorry, how did Barbara describe Ian's coat? Oh dear, it's all gone
very
quiet
chic
again. Whoa! And that's a resounding victory for Debbie, because in last place with 7 points, and a creditable seven in the end, Mary, in second place with 8 points, Kirby, and of course with 17 points, a resounding and unassailable lead.
There's this huge
Debbie
gap between us and her.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I never... Of course...
There you go. That was,
of course, I have to apologize. I didn't put much effort into studying the story this week.
Yeah, well, that's, you can always say that when you don't do very well.
Right. Yes, I will. I have studied under the master of excuses.
Yes, you clearly have. You can't be bothered to turn up this week. Right.
Well, I've decided to just sit back and enjoy the episodes and not be making many notes, because the notes always got in the way of my enjoying the episodes.
Exactly. Yes. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And Debbie's gone a bit Dalek-y. Say exterminate. Say exterminate, Debbie.
Exterminate.
Yes, you might need to quickly reboot Skype, yes. So much for fixing the microphone. Right then. Oh, dear. Bye. Oh, she went normal and then she disappeared. Right, apparently we have new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. But I'm not convinced we have, because we've got Anna. Oh, of course we have Anita Kirkbright. I do apologise. We do have a new member to the group. Of course, Matthew McGuinness, who I unwittingly added. And that's about it, because Kathleen Showalter was added by Ben a while back. Or was he? She, sorry. I can't remember. But yeah, so there, thank you for joining the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join even if you didn't know you were being added. So please join us.
Like it or not, you're one of us now.
Is Debbie back yet?
I don't know.
No.
Why do you want to say something about her?
No.
Oh, dear. Right. So, whowon.co.uk, our illustrious.
Is that
whowon.co.uk?
Yes,
it is. Do have some stuff in the shop. So, if you're lucky to get to the Isle of Wight and you want to go to Ryde, go into High Street, because there's certain things in the store that aren't available online. So, that's a good excuse to come to the Isle of Wight and actually visit their store right at the top of the High Street. Yes, who won?
My excuse to come to the Isle of Wight would be to visit you.
Yeah.
Grief.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Debbie, that the episode that we're referring to as Zoe's Butt is the Mind Robber and the TARDIS explodes.
Oh, okay.
and Zoe and Jenny are hanging on to the console for dear life.
Yes,
I saw the pictures.
Yes.
And it's wonderful.
Zoe in her cat suit. Yeah.
Yes.
And that story is great. I'm looking forward to our getting to that. Although I think we've done that one before.
Done what one?
Mind Robber.
Yeah, I think we have actually. Yeah.
Yeah, we have done. That's why we know all about that.
Yes, indeed. But
I thought everyone knew all about that one.
Yeah, it's a nice clip, isn't it?
Oh, Master?
Yes.
On the homepage of whowon.co.uk, what is this 20 meg feedback at hotmail.co?
Oh, be quiet. I don't have a chance to change that yet. Right. If you go to this, I'm looking at a specific item.
How many times have I reminded you?
Be quiet. Just for a moment. Right.
Every episode.
Right. Every episode.
Only when I notice it.
They do sell, obviously, they're an expert in Target books as well, as far as if you want to get Doctor Who Target books. So they have a vast range of brand new and old books. But either way, you can get your hands on Target books, and they're experts as well. So there is a specific Target book which is of interest to me personally, because Terror of the Zygons was Alistair Pearson's 75th cover that he painted, and he put my initials by the Zygon's leg. So if you want to buy that one, you'll find my initials, which are specifically mine, rather than there just has to be a random load of letters that are actually my initials, as that book was sort of dedicated to me. And I'm just posting a link to that specific item via whoone.co.uk to the page, so you can have a look. You can actually see. Actually, the picture then says Sarah Jane Adventures, because that's one of the pictures that comes up. If you click on the link, I hope it'll come up with that book, yeah. So click on the link and you'll see the Terror of the Zygons cover with my initials on it.
It is possible to make the picture that appears on Facebook the one that you want.
Is it now?
Go in to edit, and then above the little picture, you'll have this little arrow to the right.
Do you?
Yes. No. And then, yes.
No, I haven't got one. I'm on it now. I've just done exactly what you told me to do. No little arrows to the right. So, nah. Yeah, I used to have that facility, but at the moment, I haven't got it at all. If I click on the picture, it just takes me to the link.
Let me see what I can do.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so... Yes,
it does.
No, it doesn't. Right, so that's it then. A bit of a quick episode this week. Next week, we're going to be looking at Marco Polo. And I have, if you remember the group, I have posted a link to all of the episodes, slightly colourised in a rather weird way. Don't quite know what's the point of colourising black and white photographs is, but nevertheless, they have done that. And rather than having to, you know, find certain segments of episodes and join them together, which is quite laborious on YouTube, these are the full episodes with audio and reconstruction. So,
but Monster, you didn't read my comment last night.
I did, but I ignored it.
I posted a playlist as well.
I know you did.
So you don't have to laboriously put them together. It also plays them in order.
Oh, well, I do apologize. Hello. Well, I've done another one. Hello, Isla. Hey.
I didn't know that.
There's the picture.
Go on, say it again. Whoone.co.uk.
Thank you, Isla.
So yeah. Someone's been very patient.
Yes.
You might want to edit that post to explain why you to explain the business with your initials and everything, rather than just posting a random.
No, only people that listen to the show will benefit from that one. That is a specific exclusive link for our listeners. Okay.
I wonder if we'd get more listeners if the if the address for the feedback on whoone.co.uk
we're correct.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't got time to faff around with things like that. So, yeah, that's about it this week. Next week, we're, as I say, looking at Marco Polo. When are we going to record then, eh?
Oh, Sunday?
No.
Sunday. Let's have a look at my Sunday schedule.
Tuesday.
Let's listen to Debbie and see when Debbie isn't working. Oh, Debbie.
Bye. I know, I'm just looking at my diary.
I know, it's you, Isla.
I'm off on Tuesday.
Tuesday, right. What about Sunday?
Sunday's cool.
Okay, shall we? What's the matter with you on Sunday then, Kirby?
What's wrong with Sunday?
Having to find time to plow my way through 7 episodes.
You can do it. You can do it.
7 episodes, eh?
You're always posting all these movies and TV shows that you're watching. You know, replace some of them with Marco Polo.
Except it's Polo. There's nothing moving. There's just.
It doesn't matter. You can still. I mean, there's nothing moving if you listen to the audio stories, of which we might have to do at some point. So, you know.
Why? Yes. We're going to be doing this for years.
Yes. But never mind. So what are we going to do then?
Sunday.
All right, looks like Sunday.
Let me look at the calendar.
He's trying to find an excuse.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Sunday.
It's Robert Burns night, yes.
Sunday.
Going to any Robert Burns parties?
Oh, yeah, I've got Burns night to do as well, but I'll be doing that earlier.
No, okay,
there's nothing on my schedule.
Well, there we go then. Looks like Sunday the 25th of January is our next date.
Burns
at
night.
8 p.m.
Yay!
So 3 p.m., yes.
3 p.m. Yes, our time, yes. Yeah.
So fingers crossed, Reese can be bothered to make that one.
Matthew's off on Sunday. Maybe I can talk him into joining us.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Good.
He's off?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to get him to start listening or watching now. We have seven episodes to.
Yeah, he's going to go on about this. Yeah, so
he's
same
probably
for me.
Already written an article about it.
Well, I have watched episode one to, just to get started. I have watched episode one just to get started.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I did last night as well.
Good. And I quite enjoyed it, so fingers crossed for that one. Anyway, so until...
I'm looking forward to it. I'm just it's my job to gripe.
Yes. Until next week, when we'll probably be a bit longer. Thank you for listening to the show.
Bye! Thank you, bye!
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye! Missy Pants.
No.
Missy.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.